That's encouraging, man. That book's, the Bible's right on, boy. I don't even remember how it came up. She just said, that's weird because we always used to say that people were more angry when their air conditioning went out than their heat. I said, that's just odd. I wouldn't expect that. That would not be. I'd put everything in the pot, everything I got in the pot, saying people get more mad when their heat goes out. But the Bible teaches that heat makes them angry. It's weird. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Oh, speaking of heat, I got to tell you right now before I forget. Dan Berlucci brought a bunch of, what are they, brother? Popsicles and stuff for after church. So he said for the kids, but it's probably enough for the adults too. So, well, let's help a brother out. We can't send him home with all that bad stuff. It's very bad for him. There's like dyes in it and stuff like that. And we don't want that to happen to Brother Dan. So let's help him. Amen? Thanks, brother. All right, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend of him that giveth gifts. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for giving us the answers, Lord. We don't ever have to be stumped or worried or frustrated by science. We know, Lord, if it's true science and they got some facts about what they say, then it doesn't contradict the Bible. We have the answers in the Bible. Help us, Lord, to love this book enough and to care about it enough and to be in it enough and to be prayerful and humble in our hearts and spirit enough, Lord, to be able to truly get righteous truth and learning and knowledge. We ask you now to bless us as we go through the book of Proverbs. Continue to bless us. Make this a blessing to others. Lord, I pray for those who made it out again today on a busy day like Father's Day. Lord, I appreciate their dedication to being here and to hearing your word. What a blessing that is. And I pray, Lord, you'd give them a blessing and make it worth their time. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse number 1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Integrity, wholeness, the meaning, wholeness, entireness, unbroken state. Now, obviously, when you look at this thing, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. What is the opposite of the poor? The rich. So one of the things that can cause you to lose your integrity is what? Love of money, 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of all evil. So you get on the job and you'll lie, cheat, and steal. You'll lose your integrity. You'll get on the job and he'll say, hey, you know, we need you to do this or that. And well, you know, that might go against my conviction, but okay. What have I told you over and over again? A woman in work. Devil will use those things to get you out of church. So, you know, I'm walking into a job interview. All right, you can lay it out to him up front. I don't work on Wednesday nights and I don't work on Sundays. Well, you have to. Well, I just don't. I've been going to church a long time before I started working here. And I'm faithful to what I think is important in my life and what my priorities are. And I'll be just as faithful to this company, but in the proper parameters. Now, if a boss doesn't see that as a good thing, he needs to go back to school and learn how to hire. That's a good thing. And if God loves you and cares about you and wants you to have that job, the heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. God can change their hearts. I've seen him do it. God will take care of you. But you know what? If you don't get the job and you stay with the measly little income you got, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. I would rather not be a rich guy than to have riches and feel like I've lost my soul and my character. I learned my experience in sales. Man, I'm telling you, you could get, like, they'd offer different bonuses each month. So it was, okay, if you sell this machine, there's the normal commission, and then on top of that, we give you a spiff. And the spiffs would be anywhere from commonly $250 or $500 would be a spiff. That's over and above your regular salary and your commission you got for that sale. And then they'd give kickers. So it's like, if you sell this machine with a finisher, that's an extra $150. If you sell this machine with a finisher and extra paper capacity, that's an extra $300. So it's pretty easy for salesmen to figure out how to roll those things in to the deal, make it look like it's just one big package. They, you know, sell to your pay plan. So you got to know your pay plan. You got to know what they need to move. We got a surplus of this inventory. So here's the specials you get on finding people that are in the market for these things. And so the salesman goes, okay. You ever hear a slimy salesman? You ever hear that? So they say, oh, okay, I got this one. So what I'll do is I'll just offer them this price for this machine. And I'll say, hey, the good thing is this comes with a stapler. This comes with extra paper capacity. Well, we don't need that. You never know it comes with it. You may use it later. Here's the price. You can lower the payment a little bit because you have a little bit of wiggle room to negotiate on the price. You can lower that payment just a little bit, right? On the because I'm going to make more. If I give them a couple $100 break on the price, but I add these things on, I'll make more in spiffs. It's kind of dishonest. I had one guy tell me one time, he said, just tell them to put it in their closet. They can store it. I said, they don't need it. He said, you're going to make more. I know, but they don't need it. They don't want it. I don't feel right rolling it in. Well, I might make less money. Okay. He sees, and he promised he'd provide my needs. I'd rather have him on my side than money in my pocket and no integrity left. Amen? Wholeness, completeness. In other words, there are certain things that ought to guide you in your life, certain principles that ought to guide you in every decision you make and in everything that you do, and those ought to be your principles, and it does not matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter what the preacher at some other church does and how he conducts himself and whether or not he handles things the way that I handle them. I ought to know what I see as my principles, and I ought to govern my life based on those principles, period, the end of the discussion. Well, have you ever stopped to look at it from this point of view? No, because I've developed some principles at this point in my life, and I govern my actions by those principles. Well, people don't understand you. I don't care if they understand me. That's not my job to have people understand me. My job is to guide my life by integrity, by principles that God has given me, and I have to go by those things because those are my parameters. That's where my safety is. Your integrity. Used to be that we had men in this country who were men of integrity. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7. A handshake, a guy look you in the eye and give you his word. I don't know, was that even my parents' day? I don't know, but I think by the time you guys were signing contracts for everything, right? Ramona, brother, yeah, you, okay, so it would have been like my grandparents' day, your parents' day maybe. There was a little more integrity there, a little more handshake and a man's word, maybe even the generation before that. It might have been World War II generation, when a man's word meant something. Do you realize nowadays a man's word means nothing? I promise, I give you my word. You know how many people tell me, you know, I'll be there Sunday? It's like, yep, we'll see. I'll see you tonight. Okay. 50-50. Isn't that sad? It used to be like, you know, well, I said I was going to do it, so I'm going to do it. Now, if I said I was going to do something that was wrong, and later on I realized I did wrong, I'm not going to make two wrongs. Do you follow me? Well, I gave my word, I have to do it. Well, I gave my word and I shouldn't have, and it was wrong, and now I have to break my word, but I'm not going to do wrong, I'm going to go ask for forgiveness. You get the difference? But man, there's no integrity anymore. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. And there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. You ever stop and think, or have the devil stop and say to you, man, if you just quit tithing, you could drive one of those. Man, if we just didn't, you know, in our particular case, if we just didn't put our kids in Christian school, we could have one of those. Well, so what? I don't want one of those. You ever notice sometimes the most spoiled people who got the most things are the biggest brats? They're stinking miserable. You know, they get it, and at first it's like, oh, it's the greatest thing in the world. Then after a while, you're like, hey, you still like that beautiful vehicle? Oh, the gas mileage is killing me. Give it to me. I'll take it. You make the payment, I'll pay for the gas. Amen. You ever notice that? Folks, stuff doesn't make you happy. But you know what does make me happy? Knowing that I got something on the other side the devil can't get, the economy can't get, nothing can get it. Because it's in treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I'm not trying to, you know, get you to never have anything, anywhere to go, or never be able to go on a vacation, or not buy a nicer house, or any of the rest of that stuff. I'm not putting you in bondage. I'm just showing you the Bible says, there is that maketh himself poor. Yet God said, you're rich. You're rich. I've seen it, you're rich. I had one preacher tell me, and I believe I'm quoting it exact, but I still don't want to say his name because I don't want to misquote him like I told you this morning. But he said, you will not get to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and be able to look at him and say, you owe me. In other words, you can't outgive God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, we just can't afford it this month. I haven't been able to afford it most of my life. You go have four kids and then come complain about it, you know. But Rob can. Rob, you can complain. Nobody else can complain, amen? Why? They're expensive, man. You go bowling and it's $66. It's like, what in the world? I'm going to mortgage the house to take them somewhere. I know all about it. I understand. But God doesn't owe me a thing. It's been miraculous the way God's provided for me. It's been miraculous the way God takes care of me. He'll let you suffer a little while, though. He will. He'll test your heart. He'll test your motives. But he won't owe you nothing. It'll work out. I've seen people sell their integrity out, sell their motives out, sell their time and attention out to go after that stuff, and seen other people just refuse to go after it and God give it to them. Keep your integrity. Keep your integrity, even if it costs you something. Chapter 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. Keep your integrity. That he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So, obviously, a perverse in his lips person is a fool. Okay? That they're one and the same. But the way you know he's a fool, you can't tell by looking at him, because the Bible says, when even a fool in the holdeth his mouth is esteemed wise or something like that, right? So you can't tell by looking at him when he's not talking. He might be a really wise guy. He might know a lot. He might be staring at you because he's just too retarded to talk. Like, just, you don't know. You have no idea. So what happens? When he opens his mouth and is perverse, you know he's a fool. He is perverse in his lips. The word perverse means literally turned aside, distorted from the right. Now, isn't that exactly what our culture is absolutely full of? You say, wow, he's so smart, and he denies God, believes in a Big Bang, believes in Mother Earth. He's a fool. He's an absolute fool. Hear these yoga people all the time. This stuff's like growing like a cult in the U.S. And previously, totally normal people, you know, grandma and grandpa, are in the room, you know, twisting themselves and contorting themselves in all kinds of directions, doing sun salutations. That ought to tell you something. Namaste. Walk up to one of the namaste freaks and be like, hey, do you know homosexuality is a sin and it's perverse in the eyes of God? And watch them namaste. Ain't going to namaste nothing. They're going to knock you out. It's a false sense of peace. It's a false love. It's not genuine. They're not truly, what's the word? Not open-minded, but it'll come to me in a minute.
They not truly have any kind of patience for you. What's the word, you guys? Come on.
Tolerance,
that's it. They're not truly tolerant. That's the one I'm looking for. Thank you. Not truly tolerant. They are not tolerant of your opinion when it comes to God. It's foolishness, you guys. They're perverse. Why would somebody talk about meditating and stretching? And I mean, I overheard a conversation. One lady was standing at her sink doing her dishes, and she looked outside, and a face appeared in the tree and spoke to her, Mother Earth. Utterly normal looking until that point, except for the yoga pants. We won't go there. We just won't go there. I will resist the urge. Amen. Utterly normal outside of that. And then she opens her mouth, and I'm like, what a nut job, man. She's crazier than I am. And that's pretty crazy, amen. I heard another woman talking to a guy, and this guy is 50-something years old, and he's sitting across the table from a 50-something-year-old woman, and she's explaining to him how he needs to find his guides, and the guides will direct him, and he needs to meditate until the guides lead him into his... And he's going, oh, that's really good. Oh, that's really good. I wanted to slap him for being a fairy. I mean, just foolish, just fools, just utterly perverse. What are you talking about? You're talking about tuning your brain out. You're so educated and advanced, aren't you? You're going to sit there and tune your brain completely out until something appears to you and guides you into a place of peace. That's perversion, you guys. That's demonism. And that's yoga. It's a Middle East, it's a Far Eastern, it's from Asia. And it's a New Age religion. Those people are perverted, they're messed up, they're filthy, and it will lead you down the road into all forms of immorality and everything else. This stuff is nasty. It ain't of God. So, well, you know, it really helps my back stretch. You can bend over and touch your toes. That's a great place to start. And it's free. And you don't have to wear yoga pants. People were stretching, professional athletes were stretching all over the known globe. I bet you they were stretching on Mars. If the aliens are there, they were probably stretching before yoga ever showed up. Stretching is good for you. It'll help your back. Ask Jamie. The guy does the splits, man. I almost called 911. He was like, watch this. And he just dropped completely to the ground. grab him quick. And he's like, I'm good. He does a back bend. He's not into yoga. You're not a yogi, are you? He does a back bend where he stands there and he like almost touches his ankles with his palms of his hands. It's insane. Ask him about stretching. I can't figure it all out, but he's pretty good at it. So without yoga, you might need the health benefit. There's a health benefit. Stretch. That's foolishness, you guys. That's filthy. Verse number 2. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. There's a great verse for yoga. I don't know how I got on yoga tonight. Praise, that's not even in my notes, but it's fun. Empty your mind. Clear your mind. Clear your mind. What's your mind? Your intellect, your emotions, and your will. It's your soul. God said, for you to be clear and empty is not good. When God tells you to meditate, he doesn't say, clear your mind. He says, meditate on his precepts. You got something going up there, and you're thinking about it, and it's the right stuff, man. Soak it up. Chew it up. Also, if the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. One verse. You guys remember Daniel 12:14. We're not going there. That's not the verse. 2 Peter is the verse I want you to see. Daniel 12:14 says that knowledge... I'm sorry, 12:4. 2 Peter 3, please, if you'll turn there. I'm probably confusing you because I'm talking fast again. Daniel 12:4 says... that knowledge shall increase in these end times, correct? So God ain't talking about the kind of knowledge you Google. Also, that the soul be without knowledge is not good. That's not the kind of knowledge he's talking about. There was no Google when Solomon was penning these words, right? The information highway, knowledge shall increase. You can Google all kinds of stuff and gain all kinds of knowledge. Some of it may be accurate. Most of it probably isn't. Most of the stuff you... Isn't it crazy? I like working out. I like exercise. I like kind of... I feel like, man, one of the things I probably would have done better at if I'd in college would have been like sports nutrition or something like that. You know, physical therapy, that kind of thing. That stuff's interesting to me. There's one of the trainers at the gym over here. He used to train... the guys at Eastern,
the football team. Tiny guy, smaller than me, and he doesn't look like anything. And he's all into like how the body works, functions, totally normal stuff, not weird stuff. Educated on it. We take a liking to each other. He's a really great guy. First name basis, really cool. I like that kind of stuff. It's really neat. It's really interesting. It's a great study. So you go online and you Google different exercise and workout house, and this guy will say one thing, doctor with all the credentials. The other guy will say, no, don't do that because that'll kill you. But this is how you do it. And the next guy says, no, that's not how you do it. That's how you do it. Right? We tried all the diets. You guys know that, right? They're fun. They're so much fun. It's just kind of cool to try them all. We still have to work on the donut and coffee one. We haven't started that yet, but we're going to do that soon. But look, that stuff's all like, there's some variables in all that stuff. I went that like low carb thing. That, you know, that works great for some people. I'm losing weight eating 3,000 and 4,000 calories a day. I had to bump my carbs back up because for my body, but these guys will preach to you that it's just great for it. In other words, here's the point I'm trying to say. There's all kinds of information out there that doesn't make it all good. I can tell you where we can all go to one source and all get great information. You can just bank on it and you can preach it with passion. Look, I'm not saying what you find, what works for me, works for me. Give it a shot. I'll tell you about it. But it may not work for you. This works for everybody. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 18. But grow in grace, first, grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Also, if the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. You know what you need? Knowledge. Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You guys, that's what we should all be gaining a better understanding of. Wisdom does not discriminate between IQ levels. Does that make sense? Well, I'm just not that smart. That doesn't really matter. I don't care about that. Well, I just don't understand. I don't care about that. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not all men. God didn't say he gives it to those who are average and above. God didn't say if you're slightly below average, he'll squeak you in. God didn't say if you're feeble-minded, he'll just give you a grace period and say, you don't need wisdom, just go be a fool and I'll cover you. I mean, some people literally, there's an IQ score that's called feeble-minded. But it's not quite into the stage where they stay behind the rest of their life. It's just feeble. God said, any man. Paul said, comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. I don't care who you are. You know what? Maybe the bigger problem is the smart people. The people that are intelligent, who think they got all the answers and know it all, but have absolutely no wisdom from God. You just may be a complete fool and have a very high IQ because your knowledge of Jesus Christ is falling behind, and he is wisdom. That's where it's at. All right, verse number 3. I'm sorry, I wanted to point this out to you. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. People that are blown about make rash decisions. Hothead gets angry and makes a decision based on his anger. Why is that a problem? Well, think about this. Psalm 1, right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. See, his mind's full. He shall be like a tree, what? Planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Stay put. Yeah, but I want to go here. I want to go there. I feel like I'm called there. I think I need to go to this church, that church. Those kind of people never truly grow. I was there for 5 years, brother, and I just couldn't do it anymore. Okay, so you uprooted something after 5 years. The older it is when you uproot it, the harder it is to get it rerooted and growing again. Stay put. I just don't like the direction. Well, if you're right, pray about it, and maybe the Holy Spirit of God will bring the thing around. But stay put. You know what you got to do to leave a church? They got to go wrong. I mean wrong. Like they reject the King James Bible, not your preference, the King James Bible. They reject sound doctrine. You start preaching crazy stuff like Calvinism and some of the crazy doctrines and stuff like that. Now you got some grounds to deal with something. But people leave church over all kinds of stuff. Stay put. When you haste with your feet, you sin. You got, you know, going that contemporary route. God ain't in that mess. Okay? When the church's music starts sounding like the world's music, that ain't God. All right? Now you got grounds. They don't got the right book. They don't got the right spirit anymore. See ya. He that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The most stable people make big decisions slow. People get frustrated with corporations. It takes them so long. All the red tape. Sometimes it's just red tape, bureaucracy, and politics. Other times it's wisdom. The bigger the sale, the longer it took for me to get it through. A six-figure sale was 12 to 24 months. Minimum 12. That's a fast turnaround for a six-figure sale. Fast. 12 months. You'll work those things for 2, 3, and 4 years before they drop that kind of money. That's just wisdom. They make their moves slow. But they're the powerful ones. They're the strong ones. The weak ones are the ones that are just moving all the time with their feet. That was a big problem for me for years. I used to say it. I've said it here in the early days. My wife's heard me say it 1,000 times. I got itchy feet. I like traveling. I like change. I like moving. I like the adventure and the experience of it. That's a hard thing for some young men. That's a hard thing. Certain personality types. But you got to get your feet planted if you're going to grow. All right, verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. Now, that ties back in there to verse number 1 with a lack of integrity. But what is it that perverts his way? Foolishness. It's foolishness. It's stupidity. The word pervert means to turn from truth, propriety, or from its proper purpose, to distort from its true use or end. Romans chapter 1 come to mind? It's perverted. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. So it's actually the lack of wisdom, the foolishness in the heart, that causes somebody to get messed up. How do you get messed up? There was a problem deep down, deep inside. Nobody could see it. But what came out was perversion, and it's the fact that he was a fool that caused the perversion. Now, I hope that helps you, because I don't know about you, but there have been times, and some of you have even said it to me, I worry that I not wind up like such and such or so and so. I worry that I not wind up dropping away from God. I've seen others that love the Lord like I do that wind up dropping away from God later, and that scares me. You guys are with me? You awake still? You ever have that feeling? Man, I don't want to be that guy. That frightens me a little bit. Well, here's the issue. It's not that, what happened? This crazy thing, all of a sudden, out of the blue, one day this guy's in love with Jesus Christ, the next day he's out drinking beers and serving the devil. That's not what happened. That might be what you saw. But that is not what happened. What happened was, somewhere back years ago, he started losing interest in God. He stopped reading and praying like he used to. He stopped confessing like he used to. He stopped keeping it fresh like he used to. And he, at some point, became a fool inside. He was no longer seeking the wisdom of God and the things of God and help from God, guidance from God. He was no longer walking in his integrity. He was no longer obsessed with growing in Jesus Christ and learning more Bible and learning more about the Lord and applying that to his life. He was no longer noticing his faults and failures on all levels, in his marriage, with his children, in his personal life, in his thought life. He was no longer recognizing his own laziness, whatever it might be that was getting him. Somewhere along the line, although he was coming to church and carrying his Bible and looking spiritual, somewhere he turned from the truth in his heart and became a fool. But nobody knew it because he had the lingo down. He understood the culture. He's walking the walk. Maybe he was really trying. But he wasn't trying hard enough because his heart had gone foolish. And then all of a sudden, he's not serving God anymore. And you go, oh, what happened? Well, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. And his heart, notice this, fretteth against the Lord. I looked that word up. This is interesting. Check this out. To fret means to feel worry or annoyance against something. I've seen that. I've watched Christians start backsliding. You know, Facebook, the biggest blessing of my life was getting off Facebook. It helps me, man. But you watch them like, what are they doing there? Why are they dressed like that? Is that liquor in the background? What's going on? Well, I don't want to assume they were drinking, but why would they be a place where people are drinking? Right? You watch it happen, and you know what they do? It always goes hand in hand with that course in their life. You know what they do? They start getting annoyed by certain people and certain things. The preacher annoys them. I've watched them shift, huff. I mean, you get preaching and they get in the pew and they'd be doing a dance. It's like, what happened? Did you sit on an anthill or something? I'm not joking, man. They're sitting there like, you pick your teeth in church? That ain't normal. Look like an owl, man. Look possessed. Head spins around. Looking at everybody else all the time instead of focused in and paying attention and looking at the passage and looking back at the thing. And you can see the difference. What's going on? Why are you so aggravated? Why did your spirit change? Why did your countenance fall? Why don't you have the same joy you used to have? What's your attitude about? You know, like those kids when they start getting rebellious, bad attitude, and you love them and you're tuned into them, you can see it on them, see? What's going on? Their heart is fretting against the Lord. That preaching no longer is convicting, now it's irritating. God's people no longer are a blessing in the church family, now they're annoying. And so they get a little certain select group that they'll talk to, and it'll be a real small group. And God will work that thing out because there's a fretting going on in other hearts. That people start to push against God when their heart is going foolish. To fret. You guys see it on the street? Warrior annoyance. Why do you gotta yell? You're annoying. I'll bet I am. I'll bet you hate me. Smiling in Jesus' name. They're annoyed. You're a nuisance. You're disturbing the peace. You people are the problem. 50 people were killed yesterday. Don't you have any sense? Shut up! What are you so annoyed about? You know what that is? That's powerful preaching, gentlemen. Good job. That's preaching that's so powerful, God's in it. And it's striking something down deep in their hearts that show you they're fools and their heart frets against the Lord. God annoys them. Conviction annoys them. To fret or gnaw, giving the sense of uneasiness, roughness in substances, the like appearance given to fluids by agitation, like when you shake a Coke bottle. That's fretting, and it starts boiling inside but can't go anywhere. That's fretting. To rub, to wear away a substance by friction. Yeah, somebody sent me a text message about some. I was just at a Starbucks, and there was a whole bunch of your friends in here. I was thinking how wonderful it'd be to see Pastor Mike walk in here right now and see what happens. You guys remember the San Antonio story of that woman that just took a look at me, and we just almost had a complete explosion, like a MMA fight in the middle of Starbucks for no apparent reason. Certain spirits just clash, just don't go together. And I'm the idiot little jerk, you know, demanding and look angry all the time. And she was a wannabe man. So what's going to happen? We're going to fight. All right. To corrode. To gnaw. As a worm frets the planks of a ship. A carpenter ant eats away at that wood slowly. To impair. To wear away. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Now you understand what that means? You get it? His heart is annoyed and worn out. God deals with hearts, right? So sometimes you're successful in your soul-winning endeavors, and other times you're a failure, and you feel like, what's my problem? I'm trying so hard. Just keep trying. Because eventually, God will lead you to that heart that is truly needing help and wanting help. But the problem is most hearts
especially of Americans, anybody in the world today. It's pleasure. It's leisure. It's enjoyment. It's the flesh. It's not God they're truly seeking. And it's going to get worse as we get closer to the end times. Their hearts are fretting against the Lord. They see all these weird things happening and they're always trying to make excuses or answers for what is actually going on. Scientific ones. Let's rule out God. And guess what? You're going to be the problem. You're going to be the issue. You born-again, Bible-believing, loudmouth Christians are the problem. You're getting in our way. You're making us feel bad about ourselves. You're making it. We would not be depressed, homosexuals. We would be gay if you weren't always preaching the truth at us and telling us that we're sinners. You make us feel bad about ourselves. We're happy, even though statistically we're the most depressed people on the planet. It's all your fault. See, the end times, how it's going to work. What's the issue? You got the Spirit of God in you, don't you? If you're opening your mouth and you're trying to live that truth and you're trying to reach them, it doesn't matter if you're trying to reach them gently with love and with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When they're that far gone and they're a fool and they want to be a fool, you're going to irritate them, annoy them, and make them angry. That's all there is to it. You could preach a loving message, kindly, and they'll say, I don't like you raising your voice. You could say it quietly, peacefully, and calmly. We should try it just as an experiment sometime. We should go out there and stand there and say, excuse me, can I tell you about Jesus? Excuse me, do you got a second to talk about Jesus? And do it like nice, smile, you know, really sweet and happy. Excuse me, can I take a Bible and show you what the Bible says about Jesus and see if they still cuss us out? How much you want to bet they will? It's a heart issue. Let's get one more verse and we'll stop. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Now, this is a good one. This is a really interesting one because this one shows human nature. How do you see human nature in there? Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. So God writes a blanket statement and overrides all personalities, all the different intricacies that could go into making friends. I think this whole friends thing is kind of overrated, to be honest with you. That may be coming from a jerk who's not friendly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. The Bible talks about that. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But we throw that word around. So, oh, he's my friend. Oh, he's my friend. You know, the younger and less mature somebody is, the more they have best friends. Hello, am I alone? You ever hear your kids? Oh, she's my best friend. Oh, she's my best friend. Oh, is she really? And it's cute. It's coming from a good heart. It's cute. They're open. They you know, love everybody. That's wonderful. But it's like, how many best friends do you have? Oh, like six. Tell me about your best friends. Should name off six different. You can really only have one best friend. How could, well, they're all my best friends. Okay, that's cute, right? But to be honest with you, sometimes I think the whole thing's a little overrated. My preacher said, and you'll find it to be true, if you get to the end of your life with three really good friends, you've done really well for yourself. That's kind of harsh, isn't it? Isn't that rough? Because most people don't make friends with a godly purpose in mind. That's the importance of unity in the Spirit. That's what should be different about church. You're like, wow, I thought I was his friend. I want my preacher. I guess he doesn't like it. No. That's where the difference is Jesus Christ in that book, and that's where we need to keep it on Jesus Christ in that book. Who in here has a friendship with me based on fishing? Anybody? Who here has a friendship with me based on hunting? Beers? You're a liar if you raise your hand. Video games? Anybody? No takers. Huh. You like video games, but okay. But we don't hang out and play video games, do we? That hasn't happened yet. All right. You know what the thing is on? It's strong when it's on Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That's how I met my wife. Following the Lord. She was trying to do the same thing. And we met. I mean, that's all I know, you guys. That's all that I've seen work. I'm sorry. That's what I'm staying with. You love this book. You love my Savior. Praise the Lord. Come along. Keep it on that. Let's just keep it on him, and we'll be all right. We'll love each other. But all this, you know, oh, they're my friend, they're my friend, they're my friend. Ah. Wealth maketh many friends. Why is the rich guy with a worse personality, he's not as funny, not as nice as the poor guy, and he's got all these friends?
That word's a loose word in the Bible. Oh, yeah, well, okay, we'll come over. Why? Because he puts on a good party. He pays for all the liquor. He's got the greatest music. He's got the sweetest place. He's got the pool. How many of you ever said, we need to find a friend with a pool? No? Oh, there's one. We got two takers? Oh, praise the Lord. How many of you ever said, I need to find a friend with a cabin up north? There's one. There's two takers on that. There's one guy in here we got to watch particularly. So far, he's raising his hand to everything. How many ever said, I need a friend with a motorcycle? I've said that, and I had one, I thought, but he never let me ride it. And then he sold it and didn't offer me to buy it first. I don't like him anymore. But anyhow, right? You know what that is? That's your human nature speaking. So we can point the finger at other people all we want, but we're kind of guilty, aren't we? I need a rich friend. You're not much of a friend. Wealth maketh many friends. You ever notice the rich kids in school that wore all the sweet clothes were the cool kids? What did they do? What made them better than you? They were cool, man. Their parents could afford the expensive clothes. Ain't that odd? Now, if you're in that case and you got things and you got friends that are your friends for the wrong reason, they're using you, be careful because that friend will hurt you later. And then you're all crushed and the devil tries to get in there and create bitterness and you won't know what happened. But you got to understand human nature. People will befriend you for the wrong reason, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. You ever go into poor communities and see how violent it can be? How much fighting there is? Neighbors won't even talk to each other. Watch those like police things, you know. Where are they at? They're always in the poor neighborhoods. You know what you got right there? You got a bunch of people that got no use for each other. You know why? Because everybody else is as poor as me. I can't use you for nothing. So now you get on my nerves. Ain't that wild? What happened to Job when he went from rich to poor? His friends showed up, didn't they? And they weren't real friends. Some people will use you for company. Some people will use you for the stuff you got. It's not a real friend. A true friend sticketh closer than a brother. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you for you. He'll love you in the good times. He'll love you in the bad times. He'll love you when he's up. He'll love you when he's down. He'll love you when you're up. He'll love you when you're down. You can call him and he'll come any time of the day or night. He truly cares about you. He might not be your homeboy. He might not have any of the same interests you got. You guys might not spend a bunch of time together, but he's a real friend. I want some real friends. And you know what else I want to be? I want to be a real friend. So funny, it's right there in front of you in human nature, and you see it in your life. You see it everywhere you go. You drive through some of these rich neighborhoods, and you'll see the cars lined up on the streets. They're having a party. They live on the lake. They got the boats out there going, oh, enjoy the boat. Oh, enjoy the boat. It never dawns on them. These people are using me. You drive through the poor neighborhoods and the cop cars are in there. Neighbors are cussing each other out. Poor is separated from his neighbor. It's human nature. You know what your nature needs and my nature needs? Rich or poor, young or old, God. Wisdom, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know what our church needs? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Irritates me when somebody walks in and they got more than somebody else and they're treated differently. I've seen it happen. It's a mistake. If you got money, if you got a pile of it, I mean just a pile of it, I mean you might have six figures or seven figures. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell them. It's your business, not theirs. People treat you different. If they think you're poor and they're your friend and you got nothing to offer them, then they're your real friend. Amen. All right, be a real friend. Be like Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the truths in this book. Help us to have our eyes open to ourselves, our human nature, the world around us, that we might walk in our integrity and that we might grow, our souls might grow in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of this book and the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to be true friends to one another, the friend that you are to us. Help Jesus Christ and the King James Bible to be our common denominator. Help us, Lord, to really, really love you like we should and love each other like we should. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.